You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. We are coming to you live on the Fantasy Sports Network from Studio 34, live in Midtown Manhattan, the greatest city in the world, baby, on a beautiful day here on the last day of February. I am Black Jack Fletcher, and for those of you who don't know me, brother, it is a pleasure and a privilege to be here on the Fantasy Sports Network talking to you today. We are here to talk everything in the world of sports, gambling, anything that's on your mind, brothers. We're here to talk about, get into it. We'll dig into all of it. We got a lot planned for you today. We're going to take some questions from you guys a little bit later on. We'll answer anything on your mind. We got college basketball tournaments starting. We've got NBA action getting into the home stretch here. We got the NHL winding up. Some great action going on the ice in the NHL this season. We got a ton of things to talk about. The NFL combine's going on. We got the draft. We got free agency. We got everything happening here. We're going to get to your questions, as many of them as we can today, and we'll answer everything you guys got. Also, for you today, we're going to have winners. We got five games today that we love. Five games for you to get out there and make some money on, brothers, because that, at the end of the day, is why we're here. We're here to put money in your pocket, to give you the information you need to be successful in this life. And that's what we're going to do. So at the end of this show, we're going to have five winners for you today, brother. But first, I got to talk about some stuff going on in college basketball, guys. There's been some controversy over the last couple of months, to say the least, in college basketball. The first story that broke was Michigan State. When all the Larry Nassar stuff came out, we had Izzo and D'Antonio on the hot seat at Michigan State. Accusations of them covering up sexual assault issues with players and coaches and whatnot. And Michigan State had a ton of publicity on that school. The basketball program, every time Michigan State would play a basketball game, Izzo was being asked about the sexual assault allegations, what was going on at the program, whether he was going to be there, whether he was going to be out of a job. Nobody knew what was happening at Michigan State. Michigan State didn't do much. Okay, Izzo still got his job. D'Antonio still got his job. The Spartans, to their credit, and I will say, hand up on me here, guys, I was wrong on this one. I thought that this turmoil would be too much for them, brother. I thought it would be too much. I thought that team would fold a little bit. But they haven't. Michigan State has rallied around their coach. They've rallied around their school. And that program is playing exceptionally well heading into the Big Ten tournament starting tonight here in New York City. Michigan State decided they were going to wait for all the facts to come out before they made a decision on two coaches that they, for very good reason, obviously like a lot. Okay? Tom Izzo is one of the all-time coaches, a Hall of Fame coach in college basketball. And Mark D'Antonio, as far as what he's done at Michigan State, has been incredible. Okay? He's taken that program and put them on a level that, to be honest with you, I don't think many of us a decade ago would have seen coming. And they decided to wait. And it's turned out, I think, in Michigan State's favor. Because a lot of that publicity and a lot of that turmoil has died down at this point. And Michigan State has, in my mind, they owe a very big thank you to the University of Arizona. Because let's take a look at what is going on in Arizona from any number of angles. Last week, this story comes out at ESPN. Mark Schlabaugh reports that Sean Miller is on the phone talking about giving a $100,000 payment for DeAndre Ayton to come and play at Arizona. Now, if this is true, and let's just start here. If this is true, if this is accurate, this is one of the worst stories that college sports has seen in a very, very long time. Because at the University of Arizona, basketball rules the day, okay? This isn't Alabama, this isn't Georgia, this isn't Florida State. Arizona basketball rules the day. And Sean Miller, as the head coach, is the face of that athletic department, which makes him, in essence, the de facto face of that university. And we're not talking about the situation at USC. I've had people, I talk about this every night, guys. And I've had people come and say, well, it's no worse than what happened at USC with Reggie Bush, where an agent came in and got a house for Reggie Bush's mother. It is different. And it's different in this respect. There is a level of deniability with a university when you're dealing with an agent or a booster, as opposed to your head coach. And the allegations that came out in this ESPN report was that Sean Miller was on the phone telling a representative for DeAndre Ayton, deal with me. Don't deal with Book Richardson. Deal with me. Okay? He was the guy facilitating this $100,000 payment. So this story breaks last Friday, late on Friday. Arizona takes the night on Friday, the morning on Saturday. They've got a game against Oregon on Saturday night. They take the day and they decide that Ayton's going to play. Miller's not going to coach, but they're not going to fire Sean Miller yet. Okay? And as of right now, Sean Miller is still the head basketball coach at the University of Arizona. Okay? He's not coaching, but he is still employed by them. And over the last few days, guys, a little bit more has come out about this. And I'll be honest, again, I think that I was probably on the wrong side of this to start. Because when this story first broke, I said, I don't see how you don't give Arizona the death penalty here. If you have the head coach handing over a six-figure payment to a star recruit, how in the world can this program go on? The NCAA talks about integrity of the game and competitive balance. If this was a gambling story, guys, there's no chance DeAndre Ayton's on the court. There's no chance Arizona survives this if one of their players or their head coach is taking $100,000 and wagering it on a game. There's no chance. But at the same time, isn't it also a competitive imbalance to hand over $100,000 to a player? I don't see how it isn't. I don't see the difference. But the NCAA has a big problem with gambling more so than they have a problem with this. Which again goes to the hypocrisy of the NCAA, which essentially is an organized crime syndicate if you really want to look at the way they operate, okay? They make billions and billions of dollars and come out with these ridiculous rules that prohibit college athletes from doing the same things that regular scholarship students at a university can't do. But truthfully, that's another argument for another day. Back to Arizona. Over the last few days, this story has gotten a little bit hinky, okay? It's come out that ESPN's timeline was very, very off on these calls that they're alleging. And they've made multiple corrections to it. Okay? And now they're coming out and saying, well, maybe it wasn't DeAndre Ayton. Maybe it was Brian Bowen that was involved in this instead of Ayton. It smells a little bit, guys. It smells a little bit at Arizona. And this isn't the first time ESPN's been involved in this kind of stuff. Okay? ESPN was involved in Deflategate with the Patriots. And whatever you think about the Patriots, whether you like them, whether you hate them, ESPN's reporting on Deflategate was flat out wrong for a long time. Okay? And they truthfully never have corrected it. But it was flat out wrong. And then you look at Mark Schlabaugh himself, who was the guy that broke the Cam Newton story about him supposedly being offered, again, a $100,000 payment to attend Auburn. And the NCAA investigated it and found no violation. So you have to start asking yourself the question, guys, what is really going on at Arizona? After this report broke on Friday, Arizona met with outside legal counsel for an extended period of time. And after that meeting, they decided that DeAndre Ayton could play. And there's a huge risk there, because let's be honest, if DeAndre Ayton is found to be in violation of these rules and accepting this kind of a payment, everything they do with him on the court's going to be vacated. Okay? And this school is probably going to receive a stiffer punishment for not taking him off the court earlier than if they did. So you have to think there was a conversation going on in Arizona about what do we do here? And they haven't fired Sean Miller. Which you have to start sitting back and thinking, if they really believe this phone call happened, why wouldn't Sean Miller be out immediately? But he's still on the payroll, and he's still getting paid. Arizona has been the unfortunate recipient of some very bad business with the NCAA this year. The Alonzo Trier suspension, which, to be honest, if you look into, is an outrageous suspension. Alonzo Trier is being suspended for having performance-enhancing drugs in his system, which the amount that has been found in his system has been compared to a few grains of sand in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Okay? He's suspended. He's their second-best player, and now they have all this controversy, and they're playing without their head coach. Arizona needs to make a decision here, and they need to make it soon, because the tide on Friday of last week was very heavily against them. It's kind of shifting back in their favor at this point. This potentially could be a Final Four team. Okay, this is a team that could win a national title. DeAndre Ayton, if you've watched him play, is hands down the best player in the country. I'm a big Marvin Bagley guy myself. I love Marvin Bagley at Duke. I think he's versatile. He reminds me of a young Kevin Durant, especially when you factor in his age. But when you watch DeAndre Ayton play, he's a man amongst boys. It took Oregon to get back in that game against Arizona last week. It took them triple and quadruple teaming DeAndre Ayton. This is a team that has the potential to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament, but it's going to be very hard with this cloud hanging over you constantly. They need to make a decision about what to do with Sean Miller and DeAndre Ayton. It seems like they're committed to Ayton, which is fine. But if you're committed to Ayton, I think you also have to be committed to Sean Miller. Because if this conversation didn't happen, or it didn't happen anywhere near what ESPN is reporting, then he needs to be back on the sidelines and he needs to be your head coach. You have to figure this out if you're Arizona. You can't let this play on. You essentially have two head coaches right now. You have Lorenzo Romar, who's coaching the team, but you're still paying Sean Miller, who is still at practice sometimes and he's still around. What exactly is going on at Arizona? And they need to figure it out, because if you look at the template that Michigan State has put out there, it's very clear that Michigan State handled their controversy better than Arizona did, because Michigan State has kind of come out on the other end of this. And at this point, I would say that Michigan State is one of those teams that you would have to look at as a serious Final Four contender. They have rounded into shape. They have played consistent basketball. And you know, I'll say this, because we talk about Michigan State a lot. And their wins are not pretty, okay? They don't have the beauty wins on the schedule, okay? They're not out there running the score up on teams. But you know what they do? They get the job done. They win the damn game, which is the most important thing at the end of the day. They win the games that are in front of them. And there's been so many spots where you could look at Michigan State and say, you know what? I don't think they're going to win this game. They should be set up for disappointment, and they still pull through. Now, if you look at them from a gambling perspective, it's a little different. They have not been a great cover team, okay? They have not been covering a ton of spreads. But they have come through this controversy exceptionally well. And I think that's a testament to their head coach and to how his players feel about him. And you look at the game at Arizona, with Arizona and Oregon last week when Sean Miller was first sat out. Arizona came out of the gates hot. They jumped out to a double-digit lead at Oregon, and then they faded down the stretch. And I think that's what you're looking at with Arizona. You have to have some stability there. You have to figure out what it is you believe and who you're going to back and who the guys are on that team. Because right now there's a lot of confusion, and it's not going to stop, because every time these players are in front of the media and every time these coaches are in front of the media, they're going to be asked the same questions. It's going to be about money being paid. It's going to be about whether Sean Miller is going to keep his job. It's going to be about all of these questions over and over, instead of, do you think you can beat Oregon State in the Pac-12 tournament? And that's the only thing that they should be concerned about. But it's not where they're at right now, guys. This team needs to figure it out, and they need to figure it out quickly. Okay? There's enough reason here, I think, to look at this and say, you know what? Maybe Sean Miller should be back on the sideline to finish the year out. And if we want to be real about it, for those of you who don't know, I come from a legal background. I practiced law for 8 years. This leak, and it is a leak, has to come from one of the defendants in this case, okay? Those are the only people who have access to this discovery information, meaning the recording other than the federal government. And I can assure you the federal government is not leaking this to ESPN, okay? So if we're being realistic about this, it's Christian Dawkins, okay? He's the guy who has the most to gain out of this, right? He's the guy who in all likelihood is the source of this, who would have the contacts and have the ability to get this information out there. And if you believe a lot of the reporting that's out there, brothers, Christian Dawkins is not a guy that you should be taking entirely seriously without verification, okay? And I've heard people say, well, why don't they have the recording? Why don't they play the recording? Because I'll tell you why. This is a sealed indictment, okay? This information is not for public consumption. And I would go out on a limb and say that if ESPN was offered that recording, they probably wouldn't take it. Because they'd probably be met with a subpoena from the federal court wanting to know where it came from. And I don't know if Mark Schlabaugh is willing to go to jail to not reveal his source on that tape. Because that's the outcome, guys. That's the outcome on this if you want to hold the line. I think it's better for them to just have the information and say it came from a source. Because now you have plausible deniability. You could say it's a leak, it's a rumor, it's whatever. There's nothing concrete. But, you know, just real quickly, guys, it's also time for, I think, ESPN to take a look at their reporting standards. Because, like we said, their reporting on Deflategate was a mess. Their reporting on the Cam Newton thing with Mark Schlabaugh, it's up in the air depending on how you feel about Cam Newton, depending on how you feel about that. And now you've got this coming out. And this is tough. Because if this is inaccurate, you have really smeared two people and a major university. And you have caused irreparable damage to Arizona basketball going forward because of all the recruits that have decommitted that they've lost as a result of this. So ESPN needs to think about this closer, and Arizona needs to figure out whether Sean Miller is going to be their head coach. If he is, he needs to be back on the sideline. And if he's not, they need to let him go. Guys, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. We'll be taking your questions. Anything, sports, gambling, anything you guys want to talk about, feed it into us on YouTube Live. We'll get to all of it, brother. We're loving listening to you here on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Watch Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9 on Twitch.tv from the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 every Monday through Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Do you want to be a part of the show? Take part in the Twitch chat room and give me your opinions or call in 844-84-FNTSY. Go to twitch.tv/Craig Carton live and get in on the action. Come get some. It's Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9, only on Twitch.tv.
With ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermal filtration system, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-603-6422 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-603-6422. Call 800-603-6422 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I'd still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors, so you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today. Unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
Fantasy Freestyle.
Sam Darnold, this was like an early shot call by your boy Speeds the Spitting Statistician. I think Sam Darnold is going to be one of those not like true elite quarterbacks, but going to be in tier two. He's going to be a serviceable NFL veteran for the next 8 to 9 years. Sam Darnold, you're not going to go wrong. He has the pedigree. He has the skill set. Yeah, he throws some duds in there, but I think he'll be able to iron that out. Sam Darnold definitely going to be, in my opinion, a top 10 pick at the upcoming draft.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers. Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, guys, welcome back here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Again, I am Blackjack Fletcher, and I'm thrilled to be here with you guys today. We're going to get to now some of your questions. And I got to tell you, brothers, this is one of my favorite parts of the show because I love talking to you guys. I love hearing from you guys. I love knowing what's on your mind. I learn as much from you as you do from me, baby. And it's a great part of my day. So let's get started here. We got some questions from you guys on YouTube Live. If you're tuning in on YouTube Live, shoot your questions over. Our producer, Chris, will get them to me. We'll get as many of them as we can done. We got a question here from Paco, my guy Paco. He wants to know, what's up with the Kentucky line tonight? Paco, this is a fantastic question, and I'm going to get into this a little bit more when we do our winners in the next segment here, but I'm just going to tell you, if you have been listening to me for any amount of time, Paco, and I know you have, you know my feelings on Kentucky. Kentucky is a very, very inconsistent team, and generally, in my view, whenever anyone feels like they've got a good beat on Kentucky, whether they think they're on the upswing or they're going down, Kentucky usually pulls the other way. And this is an interesting one, brother, because we're seeing all of the money in this game on Kentucky. All right? You've got 75% of all tickets on Kentucky and 65% of the money on Kentucky. And yet the line has dropped 3 points since it opened. So, like I said, Paco, we'll get to this a little bit more in the next segment, but that should give you a little bit of a hint about what's coming. We have a question from John Callahan about the St. Louis Blues. Do the St. Louis Blues get off the skid tonight against the Detroit Red Wings? Great question, John. This game is in St. Louis at the Scott Trade Center tonight. The Blues coming off an awful loss last night in Minnesota, 8-3. The Wild took it to St. Louis. St. Louis is in a tailspin, guys. There's no two ways about it. All right, this team has been on the cusp of a playoff berth for most of the season. They're still there. If we're being honest with each other, they're only a couple of points out of a wild card. But if you look at how they've played in their last 10 games and the last couple of weeks, it's atrocious. And then you look at what happened at the trade deadline a couple of days ago on Monday. They trade away Paul Stastny. Now, look, I know Paul Stastny hasn't been a superstar for St. Louis this year, but he is a veteran presence, a guy that they paid big money to bring into St. Louis. And they move Stastny, and they don't really get a hell of a lot in return. They send him to Winnipeg to play for a contender, and they bring very little back into St. Louis. I think the message is clear, guys. St. Louis is waving the white flag here, okay? This is a team that's going to be very, very tough to back going down the stretch. Now, John, to your question about tonight, if they are going to get a win in their next five games, I think it's going to be tonight. I don't know that I have the testicular fortitude to back St. Louis tonight, brother, but if you're looking for a spot to back the Blues, if you're a Blues fan, if you're living and dying with the Blues in St. Louis and you need to put some money on them somewhere, tonight is probably the spot to do it, because Detroit is in the same boat as St. Louis, right? Detroit traded away Tatar to Vegas. They got back draft picks, not players. Detroit's looking to the future. They're not looking to this year, and they've been struggling a lot recently as well. So if you're looking for a spot to back the Blues, I think tonight is your spot, because their schedule coming up is not easy. And I don't see a win for them in the next five games if they don't get it tonight. So, Johnny, if you're looking to back St. Louis, tonight's probably your night. Although I'll tell you right now, you're a braver man than I am, brother. We got another question here from my guy Dom. Dom wants to know, who do we like in Minnesota and Rutgers tonight? Dom, I don't like anybody there. That's one of those games, brother, where you just got to pass that, man. You got two bad teams. Minnesota. It's easy to forget that Minnesota opened the season ranked like 13th in the country, and now they are one of the worst teams in a Power 5 conference. And Rutgers is not much better. So my advice to you, Dom, is to stay the hell away from this thing. You don't want any part of this game, brother. This is a mess. Find something where there's a little bit of value. Betting this game is taking a coin, flipping it in the air, and praying on it. That's it, man. There's no value in this thing. There's no value here. Avoid this game, brother. You don't need. There's better places to take your hard-earned money and put it on than Minnesota and Rutgers. They don't deserve you. They don't deserve your money, my man. Steer clear. We got a question here from Steve. He wants to know if Nebraska can make the NCAA tournament. Steve, great question. I have been as big a backer of the Cornhuskers as there is, okay? The Huskers have made me and this team a lot of money over the last month or so. They have been a cover machine. They have been fantastic. And more so, they've been winning these games outright, baby. They've been winning these games, okay? The problem that Nebraska has is their scheduling, okay? They don't have those top-tier quality wins. I think for Nebraska to make the NCAA tournament, Nebraska needs to have a run probably to the Big Ten championship game in this tournament. And I'm not saying it's out of the question. I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you this too, Steve. I almost hope it doesn't happen. I kind of hope they get left out. I hope they're one of those first four teams out. Because you know what that means, Steve? That means they're going to be in the NIT. And that means they're going to be a really high seed in the NIT. And that means they're playing games at home. And it means they're going to be pissed off and they're going to be hungry. And they're going to be out there doing the same thing we do, brother, which is looking for wins. And we will bet the ever-loving hell out of the Nebraska Cornhuskers in the NIT should they make it there. They'd be a tough team to back in the NCAA tournament, I think. But in the NIT, they're one of the favorites, baby. I like Nebraska in the NIT a lot. So selfishly, while I love the Cornhuskers and I love all the Nebraska ball fans out there, I kind of hope they get left out, and I kind of hope they find their way into the NIT as one of those top seeds. Let's keep it rolling with your questions here. We have Johnny. Johnny wants to know who comes out of the Eastern Conference in the NBA this year. Fantastic question, Johnny. It's one that people have been up and down on all season. There are three teams. I think we can all pretty much agree there are three teams that are capable of doing it, and it's Cleveland, Boston, and Toronto. And it all depends on how high you are on any one of those teams, right? Cleveland obviously has the best player in LeBron James. I think Boston has the best coach in Brad Stevens. And Toronto may have the best depth of those teams. For my money, Johnny, for my money, it's Boston. And the reason it's Boston is people keep thinking that Cleveland is going to flip this magical switch, right? They see LeBron James makes it to the finals every single year, year after year. We go through this every January, right? LeBron's team struggle in January. There's complaints about the roster. There's complaints about fit. And then they manage to figure it out in the Eastern Conference. It's not the same problems this year, guys. It's not the same problems. This team can't play defense. And I'm not talking about good defense. I'm not talking about average defense. They can't play any defense. They are abominable on the defensive side of the ball. And that's not going to change. And the problem that they're going to have if they run up against Boston in the playoffs, which I believe they will, because I'm going to tell you right now, Johnny, Boston's my pick. When they run up against Boston, if you watch the Celtics look to me a lot like the Spurs from 6 or 7 years ago. The ball movement is incredible. The players moving off the ball is beautiful. The team defense can be tight. Okay, Kyrie Irving, while not a defensive stopper by any stretch of the imagination, when he needs to dial it in, he can. They also have the youth and athleticism with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They have defensive-minded guys like Al Horford, like Marcus Smart. They can hit from three. They can get down low if they need to. They can do the dirty work. This is a team, to me, that is the most complete team in the Eastern Conference. I'm not backing off Boston because they had a little bit of a rough patch. The NBA season, brothers, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, okay? Every team goes through their peaks and valleys, and Boston is going to peak in the playoffs, and the Boston Celtics are going to be your Eastern Conference representative in the NBA Finals, where, unfortunately for them, they will lose to whoever comes out of the West, whether it be Houston or Golden State. We're going to keep it going with your questions here. Stick with the NBA for a little bit, guys. Chad wants to know, where does LeBron James play next year? This is a great question. I love this question because I get asked it all the time. And over the last month or so, my answer to it has changed. It's changed because I thought maybe a month ago LeBron was probably going to stay in Cleveland. I thought it would be too tough for him to leave a second time. I thought that if you look realistically at where he can go, the options are not as plentiful as you might think, okay? Because, number one, he wants a max deal. LeBron has said all along he's not taking a discount to go somewhere else. So you need a team that can free up a max spot. That's the first issue. The second issue, what has LeBron James said to us every year he's been in the league? He's chasing a ghost. He's chasing Michael Jordan. He wants to win rings. He's not going to go to a spot where he can't win a title. And he's not going to go to a spot where it's going to take a few years to get there, which is why I take both LA teams and throw them out. Because I'm sorry, guys, LeBron James, Lonzo Ball, and Brandon Ingram are not a championship team. And even if you believe that if LeBron goes to LA, Paul George is going to follow, LeBron, Paul George, and Lonzo Ball are not a championship team. And if he goes to the Lakers, he's playing in Magic Johnson's shadow because he's playing for Magic Johnson. And he's got to deal with LeVar Ball. And don't discount that, guys. That's an issue, okay? LeVar Ball is a distraction. And LeBron James does not enjoy distractions. So if you're asking me where I think LeBron's going to be next year, I think there are two spots that really intrigue me. Obviously, one of people's favorite choices is Houston. I don't think Houston is going to be able to clear the space to re-sign Chris Paul and LeBron James. I just don't see a way they do it without absolutely gutting the franchise. So I'm going to take Houston out of this. The two spots that intrigue me the most are Philadelphia and San Antonio. Philadelphia intrigues me because the 76ers have a spectacular array of young talent. Joel Embiid, if he's healthy, which he's been this year for the most part, is a generational type talent. The guy can do everything you want down low. He can play defense. He can rebound. He can dominate on the block. He can also step back and hit threes for you. And he can run the ball in transition. The guy's a fantastic player, okay? And he's very, very young. Saric has proven to be a quality guy that they have on the wing. Ben Simmons looks like, again, an all-star, every year all-star caliber point guard. If you slot LeBron James into that lineup, you have a lineup that really gives a team like Golden State, because isn't that what we're talking about here, guys? We're chasing Golden State. Everyone's chasing Golden State. This gives the Warriors a problem. And think about it. When the Warriors in the playoffs are their most effective, it's when they trot out that lineup of death, when they put Draymond at the five, and they go small, and they can shoot from everywhere on the court. Well, you can't do that in a lineup with Embiid in it. You can't do it. Because Embiid's going to dominate Draymond Green on the block. And Embiid can defend out to the three-point line. It's not a problem for him. So Philadelphia, to me, intrigues me a lot for LeBron. Also, it keeps him in the Eastern Conference, which means it's an easier path to the finals. The San Antonio spot interests me because LeBron James has never had the opportunity to play with a truly all-time great head coach. Eric Spoelstra is a good coach. No argument there. But he's not a Pat Riley, a Phil Jackson, a Greg Popovich. I think LeBron may look at San Antonio and say, this is the best coach I may ever have the chance to play for. And what do they do better in San Antonio than anywhere else in the NBA? They extend careers of veterans. They give you rest. They know how to put you in positions to extend your career. You take LeBron James with Greg Popovich, Kawhi Leonard, and LaMarcus Aldridge. Yeah, that's a team. That's a team that could do some damage. That's a team that could compete with Golden State, with Houston, with any team in the NBA. So if you're asking me right now where I think LeBron James is next year, I would put my money on Philadelphia or San Antonio. And I know everyone's talking about Philly right now because his representatives looked at Malvern Academy for his kids. I'm hearing it's true. But don't discount San Antonio either, brothers. I could see that one happening. Another question we got from our guy Joe here. Joe wants to know, who are my Final Four teams right now? Joe, I feel like this changes on a daily basis, to be perfectly honest with you, because college basketball is wide open this year, brother. It's wide open. But if you're asking me today for my Final Four teams, Virginia, to me, is the clear number one seed overall. There's not a team in the country done what Virginia's done this year. And there's always pushback on this. And I think the pushback is that the Virginia teams of recent memory have been defensive-oriented teams, and they've shown up short in the NCAA tournament. This is not the same team, okay? First of all, what Virginia does on defense is historic. Look at this team play. Watch them play defense. They completely shut teams down. The other thing that's different to me is that this Virginia team can score when they need to, okay? And for me, the best example of this is the game they played against Duke. They were at Cameron. It's a tough environment to go into Cameron and play. Duke was healthy for that game. They had all their guys out. Virginia jumps out to a double-digit lead at halftime. Duke comes back in the second half. They take the lead. Virginia gets in foul trouble. Duke's in the bonus with 7-8 minutes to play. And Duke's in front. And Virginia came back, not defensively, but offensively, and matched Duke possession for possession and made those baskets. I think Virginia is the clear number one seed in this tournament, and I would look for them to make a very deep run. They would be one of my Final Four teams. Another one for me is Villanova. I know Villanova has had some struggles recently, and their defensive side needs a little work, but I think they're starting to get healthy at the right time. I still think they are one of the greatest shooting teams in the country, and they have been there. They've been there. They've done it, okay? I like Villanova. I also like Michigan State, and I'm going to give you a wild card here, guys. The wild card is Cincinnati. If you haven't watched Cincinnati, take a look at them. They play great defense, and they can score the ball. We'll be back in a few seconds with some winners, brothers.
Muscle Maker Grill was made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
If you see how much Eli Manning is making, Odell Beckham should be making more than that, which would put him right in the range of being the highest paid. High paid? Sure. Highest? I don't think so.
So now the market is going to change. So now you got this mega superstar celebrity athlete going into the prime of his career in New York City. He deserves to be the highest paid non-quarterback.
Watch on the FNTSY YouTube stream and listen on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
yet. Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Fantasy.
Mike, I do want to apologize. Lucas Duda will not be returning to the New York Mets.
No, he won't be. I know that.
You should be happy about that.
The Royals felt bad that he went unsigned, and they were like, yo, thanks for throwing that ball away a couple years ago.
Does he make the meet the Mets qualifications, though, for players? Is he 40 yet?
Or? No, he is not. I think that at the money Duda ended up making, I think the Mets did a bad job reading this market, and they should have paid Lucas Duda rather than paying Adrian Gonzalez. Lucas Duda is underrated.
Weekdays, noon Eastern, on FNTSY Radio and live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.
Do it.
All right, baby. We're back here on the Fantasy Sports Network at Rockin' Riley's in Midtown Manhattan. It is a beautiful day, brothers. It's a beautiful day. And let me tell you something. The only thing that can make a day like this any better is when you end the day with a little bit more money in your pocket than you started it with. And that's why we're here, baby. That's why we're here. Because we got winners for you. We got winners, and we're going all over the place with them tonight. We're going to the NBA. We're going to the NHL. We're going to college basketball. We got a little bit of everything for you, so whatever your fancy is, make sure you pay attention here for the next few minutes, because this is where you're going to make your money this evening. Let's get it going. First, we're going to go to college basketball. The first game we got for you is Ole Miss and Kentucky. We talked about this a little bit with Paco's question about the line. Look, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I am not a Kentucky buyer, okay? I have watched a lot of Kentucky basketball this year. They are a very talented team, no question. No question. They may be the longest and most athletic team in the entire country. And John Calipari is a great coach. But this is an inconsistent team, as inconsistent a team as I have ever laid my eyes on. You look at the games they have. They're on a hot streak right now, and that's fine. There's a lot of people buying into Kentucky. SEC tournaments come in. The NCAA tournament's around the bend. People think they're rounding into shape at the right time. We've heard this before, guys. We heard it when they had the win at Vanderbilt. Okay, everyone said, Kentucky's back now. Kentucky had a great win there. No, they weren't back. Look at the games that Kentucky's had, okay? They have dropped games to Tennessee, South Carolina, A&M, and Auburn. Now, those are good teams, no doubt. So you can't call them bad losses, right? Well, no, I am going to call them bad losses. And I'm going to call them bad losses because of the way Kentucky played in those games. And what I mean by that is Kentucky had leads in almost all of those games in the second half and pissed it away because they can't close. They can't finish games. They are a very young team, and Kentucky's always a young team. I get that. But this team with Knox and Vanderbilt, they are very, very young. They don't have that veteran presence. They don't have those Harrison twins. They don't have the guys who have been there who can settle them down, okay? The Auburn game, they had a big lead. They blew it in the second half. South Carolina game, they're up 15 with 14 minutes to go. They lose the game by double digits. The Vanderbilt game in Kentucky, they needed overtime to come back and beat Vandy at home. I'm sorry. I am not on this Kentucky team, and I'm going to tell you what else. Every time you think you've got this team figured out one way or the other, if you think you've got them pegged as a dog and they're going to lose, they usually find a way to come out with a good effort and win the game. And if you think that they're riding high and they're going to come out and dominate, they usually lose. That's why you're seeing the action on this line tonight, guys. Everyone's looking at this game and saying Kentucky's hitting their stride. It's late season. The Wildcats are making a move. Ole Miss fired Andy Kennedy. This team's got nothing to play for. They're out of it. This is where Kentucky lays an egg, okay? And look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Wildcats are rounding into shape, but it'll be the first time this year that they've put up an effort that you expected them to put up. And that's been the problem. They don't do what you expect them to. And that's why a line that opened at 12, even though 65% of the money and 75% of the tickets is on Kentucky. That's why that line has dropped down to 8.5 at this point. 3.5 points, guys. We've seen a 3.5 point reverse line movement on this Kentucky game. What is that telling you? Take Ole Miss, take the points. Wouldn't shock me if Kentucky lost the game outright. Take Ole Miss, take the 8.5. That is your first winner for today. Your second one, we're going to stick with the NCAA. Pittsburgh and Notre Dame. Pittsburgh is probably the worst Power 5 basketball program I have seen in many, many years. Virginia, we just talked about Virginia and their excellent defense. Virginia held them to 7 points and a half. 7 points and a half for a Power 5 school. It's embarrassing. They've been a joke all year. They're going into Notre Dame tonight, and they're catching 19 points. The public in this game is on Pittsburgh. They like getting 19 points. Most people who are casual bettors are uncomfortable laying almost 20 points in a conference game in a big conference. Notre Dame has not been a dominant team this year, but there are two things that I really like in Notre Dame's favor tonight. Number one, Bonzi Colson comes back tonight. He's going to play tonight. You have to think that's going to give that team a boost. It's going to get them fired up. They're going to be ready to go tonight. Bonzi Colson's back. He was their best player when he went out. And the second thing is it's senior night at Notre Dame. And senior night in college usually does add a little bit of motivation, particularly at schools where they draw well. And Notre Dame will draw well for this game. You factor in senior night. You factor in Bonzi Colson's return. You factor in a historically bad Pittsburgh basketball team. Lay the 19 points. Lay the points with Notre Dame. Notre Dame wins this game comfortably. I think they're looking to get Colson reintegrated back into the lineup. They're looking to get him comfortable again, and I think they'll give him a little bit of run tonight. Lay the 19 with Notre Dame over Pittsburgh for your second winner of the night. We're going to stay with hardball, but we're going to switch over to the NBA. And, brother, we had a game in the NBA tonight that looks good to me, and that is Golden State at Washington. Golden State's laying 9 points here. This is an interesting game for a few reasons, guys. Kevin Durant is from the D.C. area. This is a homecoming for him. He also played for Washington's coach, Scott Brooks, in Oklahoma City for quite a while. He's going to be familiar with Scott Brooks, with his defensive schemes, with what he likes to do. And like I said, it's a homecoming for Kevin Durant. He's going to have family there. He'll have friends there. You have to think there's going to be a little bit of motivation for KD to have a nice night tonight. The other factor here is that this game would have been the day where the Warriors made their visit to the White House, had the president not disinvited them from their visit. Instead, they spend the day with D.C. school children. I can't help but think, with the way Golden State interacted with the White House with this whole visit situation in the offseason, I can't help but think that this game was circled on their calendar a little bit. Those are the motivation issues in this game. If you want to talk X's and O's, it's very simple. Washington's played excellent basketball without John Wall. They've played really good team basketball. Their shooters, Bradley Beal, has been incredible. They've moved the ball well. Their offense has been fluid. But they simply don't have the horses to hang with this Golden State team. And I think the Wizards will keep it close for a half, like a lot of teams do against the Warriors. And then the Warriors come out in the third quarter, and they blow the doors off you. That team is, in the third quarter of this season, guys, they are over plus 230 points in the third quarter this season. It is an astounding number. The Golden State Warriors dominate the third quarter of basketball games. And I don't expect anything different this evening in Washington. Take the Warriors, lay the 9 points, and take another winner home. We're going to switch now over to the NHL. And let me tell you something, brothers. We have been doing fantastically well in hockey. Hockey has been so good to us. That's why I'm wearing this Vegas Golden Knights hat, because let me tell you, there is no team in any sport, professional or amateur, that has made more money for all of us than the Vegas Golden Knights. They're on a little bit of a rough patch right now, but it's no worry. We'll get it back. But hockey overall has been very good to us. There's value in hockey, guys. If you haven't been paying attention to the NHL, start looking there, because it's there. and we got two games tonight. The first one I'm going to give you is the Calgary Flames at the Colorado Avalanche, a matchup of two pretty even teams. Now, you would think Colorado's at home, we should lean Avs. No, 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 no. That's not how the Calgary Flames operate, my friends. The Calgary Flames are 18-9 on the road. They are the road warriors of the NHL. They are a far better road team than home team. And they're coming off a road game last night in Dallas where they lost 2-0. And Calgary is a good team. Make no mistake, they're a quality hockey team. And I simply do not see Calgary dropping two road games in a row to teams that are in their same sphere, okay? And Dallas and Colorado are both even teams with Calgary. I simply don't see them dropping two in a row to teams of that caliber. The Flames got shut out last night. They should come out tonight in Colorado, hungry, looking to score some goals with some energy. I love the Flames. And you have to also factor in that there's value on Calgary tonight. They're an underdog, so you can get them at plus 105, maybe even plus 110 at a book somewhere. So take a look around, shop the line. But Calgary is a great bet for your fourth winner of the evening tonight. Your fifth winner also comes from the NHL. The NHL is beautiful in many ways because you can bet heavy favorites in the NHL. You can find a way to bet them. If you don't like the money line, which in this game you could, there would be no way you would take the money line, you can look at betting them in regulation on a three-way line, or you can bet the puck line where you lay a goal and a half. The game that I'm talking about here is Buffalo at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is, record-wise, the best team in the NHL. They play very, very good at home, and they added Ryan McDonagh from the Rangers at the trade deadline. The Lightning are playing at home against the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres are one of the worst teams in all of hockey. And if that wasn't enough, guys, there's two other things that cut in your favor tonight. Number one, the Sabres traded Evander Kane at the deadline, one of their more explosive offensive players, one of their better skaters, a guy who added a lot of pace and tempo to their offense. He's gone, now out in San Jose. And the other factor, which really is the controlling factor for me in this game, is the starting goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres is not Robin Lehrer, it's Chad Johnson. And Chad Johnson is atrocious. He is a terrible goalie. And what I mean by that is Chad Johnson's save percentage this year is .894. He gives up 3.29 goals per game. If you compare that with Vasilevsky, who is in net for Tampa tonight, Vasilevsky's save percentage is .927. He gives up 2.3 goals a game. There's over a full goal difference between these two players. You factor in that Tampa has one of the most, if not the most, explosive offenses in all of hockey. The game is in Tampa. The Lightning are out there trying to secure home ice. Buffalo has nothing to play for. They traded Kane. They haven't brought anything back. They're a bad team. They're on the road in Tampa. Take the puck line in this game. Lay the goal and a half. Take the puck line with the Lightning. Those are your five winners of the evening, brothers. Let's recap them one more time so you get them. Take Ole Miss, +8.5. Take Notre Dame, -19. Take Golden State, -9. Take the Calgary Flames on the money line. And take the Tampa Bay Lightning on the puck line tonight. Lay the goal and a half with the Lightning, and you will win this evening. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure to be at the Fantasy Sports Network studios here in Midtown Manhattan. I want to welcome all of you who were not familiar with me before this. Welcome to the team, brothers. This is a team. It's a family. We do things together. We do them for each other, okay? We're out here day after day. You'll get these picks every day because there's nothing better than ending the day with more money than you started it with. And there's nothing that slows us down. There's nothing that can get in our way. Any obstacle put in front of us, any deterrent that tries to be thrown in front of us, we will overcome. Because at the end of the day, in our soul, in our bones, we are winners. And winners are in the business of getting up and moving forward. And that's what we do every single day. There is nothing that can stop that. We are building an empire here, my friends. And every day, these wins that we go after are the bricks that we put in the wall of that empire. And this isn't a sprint. There are good days. There are bad days. It doesn't matter. We keep going. We keep building. We keep moving forward. And I am so happy to have everyone here at the Fantasy Sports Network on board with everybody else on this team. Because let me tell you, the more people on this team, the stronger we get. And the stronger we get, the more we win. And the more we win, the more unstoppable this team becomes. It has been an absolute pleasure to be here with you today. Again, Blackjack Fletcher, you can find me on Twitter, at Blackjack Fletch. I do a nightly Periscope wrap-up every night after the games are over. So any questions you have, we can talk live. I'm happy to talk with anybody who wants to come on there and chat with me every single night. We do it every night. Every night for you guys, because that's what matters. You guys want to talk about your picks. You want to talk about games. You want to talk about lines. I'm here for you, brother. I'm here. We've built a beautiful community, and we're going to keep building it every day, every pick by pick. We will keep going until we have reached our goal. I love all of you. Thank you all for listening today. I hope to be back with you soon. Everybody, have a great day. Listen to the Fantasy Sports Network and follow me on Twitter at Blackjack Fletch. I love you guys.